Please take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 13. And just a minute. I'll be right back. Okay, Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat down while the crowds stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "Consider a sower who went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where it didn't have much soil, and it grew up quickly, since the soil wasn't deep. But when the sun came up, it was scorched, since it had no root. It withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it. Still other seed fell on good ground and produced fruit, some 100, some 60, some 30 times what was sown. Let anyone who has ears listen." And then go down to verse 18. "So listen to the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the one sown along the path. And the one sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. But he has no root and is short-lived. When distress or persecution comes because of the word, immediately he falls away. Now the one sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the worries of this age and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But the one sown on the good ground, this is the one who hears and understands the word, and who produces fruit and yields some 100, some 60, some 30 times what was sown." You may be seated. Leaving my notes sitting on the my desk reminded me of the story I heard of these three old men, actually four old men, sitting on a bench talking about how age has taken away some of their ability. One says, "You know, I can't see much anymore, but I've seen all over the world, so I really don't miss my vision because I've seen everything." Another said, "Well, you know, I've heard beautiful music. I've heard a waterfall. I've heard sounds from all over the world. I really don't miss my hearing." And the third guy goes, "I really miss my mind." So I really missed remembering to put my notes with me. Now, Sunday, I had mentioned about Jesus' family, and I forgot to give you the verse for that, and I'll have that right now. But reviewing back for Sunday, we were talking about Jesus' mother, brothers, half-brothers. They came while Jesus was teaching in a house, and they were wanting to come speak with him. And if we look at Mark chapter 3 and verse 20, we see one of the reasons they might want to talk with him. They were not yet believers, and they were sort of concerned about what he was saying. Look at Mark chapter 3 and verse 20. "Jesus entered a house, and the crowd gathered again so that they were not able to eat. When his family heard this, they set out to restrain him, because they said, he's out of his mind. The scribes who had come down from Jerusalem said, he's possessed by Beelzebub, and he drives out demons by the ruler of demons. And so the religious leaders at the day were attributing the miracles Jesus did to the devil, and saying basically Jesus is in league with the devil. Well, Jesus understood why they were saying that, and he explained about how you can't cast out demons by the devil or the house is divided. First, you have to bind up the devil, the strong man, and then you can plunder his house. But if we look at Matthew 13 and verse 55, here we see Jesus' brother's name listed. Jesus is teaching in Nazareth, and the people say, verse 55 of Matthew 13, isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, and his sisters? Aren't they all with us? So where does he get all these things? And they were offended by him. So here we see the half-brothers, the natural children of Mary and Joseph after Jesus was born. And James, the first listed, later became the head of the church at Jerusalem. And we have a book James wrote called James. Jesus, when he hears that his half-brothers and his mother is outside, and Mary is the mother of Jesus, not the mother of God, she's the mother of Jesus, and there is a difference there. Mary needed salvation, so did all his brothers and sisters, and later they became believers. But Jesus said, when told that his mother and brothers are outside, he says, who are my mother and brothers? And then verse 49 of chapter 12, stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. On that day starts our next chapter. But we realize it's the same day that Jesus had talked about people doing the will of God, being his relatives. He went out of the house and went down by the sea, and a large crowd gathered around him. Now, it's interesting. Crowds can gather for several reasons. Now, if you see a lot of fire trucks go by and they stop just around the corner, the people will want to go around and see why they're there. Or, I was just recently hearing about the Cynthia Woods Mitchell Pavilion. I think I got that right. It's one of the most popular venues and the most used of any place in the world or any place in the United States. They have more people go there than go to concerts other places. And it's an interesting place. I heard one reason why the performers like to perform there. Even though it's outside, it might be 110 degrees, the stage is 68 degrees. They have the air conditioning that blows out, so the band members or whoever's up there, they got it nice and cold. It's a, and I guess if you got close to the stage, you get some of that air too, but it's a very popular place, and a lot of people go to the pavilion to listen to various artists. I remember going there and listening to the Beach Boys, and then I think we saw ZZ Top there, or at least part of the ZZ Top, or the remade version. One guy only had a little short beard down to here. Said I've only been growing it for 6 months, and it was like right there. So he's got a little time, but Other people go for various reasons. It was originally made just as a place for the symphony to play. But all kind of performers go there. And they're going there, but hopefully because they want to listen to the music that's being played by the group there. Some people might not want to hear it, but they don't have to go. But there are also other places that people gather, like down at the football stadium, they gather when there's a football game. Here, the crowd is gathering because Jesus is teaching. He's teaching them, and a lot of people are hearing what he says. They hear the words, but a lot doesn't get through the callousness of their ears. They don't see the truth clearly, and Jesus gives an illustration to explain this. And then look at verse 3, it says, "Then he told them many things in parables." And a parable, the little Greek means something that's thrown out. Thrown out, parallel, and below, parable, like things cast out. Some people receive it, some people don't. Like if somebody threw a baseball or a football towards you, some people will catch it, some people won't. Some people will just dodge it. Well, Jesus is speaking in what we might call an illustration or a metaphor, explaining something in a way that is familiar to people, just like I mentioned about a crowd gathering at the pavilion. Well, Jesus talked about things that people understood. And there might have even been a farmer out throwing his seed out just within sight of where the people were gathered around listening to Jesus. Jesus used a lot of illustration that people understood to give a point about a spiritual truth. Jesus understood. And he told them many things. We've had stories like this for a long time. Aesop's Fables, Uncle Remus's Tales, Star Trek. Interesting thing, I was listening to an interview of one of the actors from the original Star Trek series that they finally figured out that Gene Roddenberry was doing morality tales. He was doing something like Aesop's fable of the tortoise and the hare, trying to teach a moral truth through a play. One illustration I think of very clearly, they had this guy, half of his face was white and the other half was black. And there was another guy, half of his face was black, half of his face was white. You look at them, they look, they're the same. But Roddenberry was teaching a truth about prejudice. And it turned out one guy had the white side and the black side on the wrong side of his face. It should have been switched. And they were prejudiced against each other. Many other things are taught to us in stories. And Jesus was teaching a truth using an illustration they'd seen and understood. Somebody throwing seed. And the way they threw seed, you got a sack and you just spread it out and cast it out. Now, if you've ever spread fertilizer that way, or it goes everywhere. Some of it lands where you want it to. Some of it lands like on the driveway or on the sidewalk. Well, Jesus is talking about there's a sower that went out to spread the seed. Some of the seed fell on the path. Now, the path goes through the fields, and it's where the farmers would go to walk from one field to another. There's a lot of walking on it. It also would be where somebody, if they're going across the area from one town to another, would walk on this path. Jesus and his disciples were walking on one of these paths just a short time before this, and they were gathering the grain to eat because they were hungry. Well, some of the seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky soil. The rocky soil is where there's just a little bit of soil, and then there's hard rock under it. I was thinking about your septic tank cover. Grass grows real good over the septic tank cover. But when it gets real hot, that grass over the septic tank cover just turns brown almost overnight because there's no root depth. It did real good because there's that thin layer over the concrete top of your septic tank. But it doesn't last when the sun comes up. And then some seed fell among thorns. Reminded me of when I was in Minnesota and would go out and there'd be dandelions everywhere, and you'd have to pull them out of the ground to get, you got to get the root with them too. If you just mow over them, they come back. One time I also thought, you know, it might be easier just to try to grow dandelions because they seem to take over the yard. Well, the seed that fell among thorns were choked out by the thorns. And then there was good ground. In the good ground, the seed produced 160 and 30 times what was sown. At this time in Galilee, the average yield was 8 times what was sown. So these good soil, 160 and 30 was a miraculous amount. And then Jesus goes on to explain what each of these mean. Said the soil is where the seed falls. The seed is the word of God. There's nothing wrong with the seed. It just depends on the soil of where it lands. The seed that fell along the path, this is the person that hears the word but doesn't understand it. And the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in his heart. They don't understand the gospel message. They don't understand the truth of judgment. They don't understand about forgiveness. They don't understand about sin. And Satan is very happy to come and take away that truth, even from the ones that are speaking behind pulpits. Let's don't speak the truth where people will understand. And then the seed that fell on rocky ground, that rocky ground is someone that hears and they immediately say, yes, I want that. But they have no depth of root. They don't understand the true consequences, the true decision they're making. It's like what Ray Comfort said in Hell's Best Secret, that some people are told, come to Jesus and he'll make your life more comfortable. Jesus didn't come to make your life more comfortable. Jesus came to make your eternity secure. The gospel message is sometimes made to be misunderstood, to produce believers in a false gospel. There's no depth to their understanding. That's why a lot of people make decisions, but you can't find them later. Every church has lots of people on its rolls that haven't been there in a long, long time. Then he says, the seed fell among thorns are those that are more concerned, that focus on the concerns, the cares of the world. When Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, he said, if it's you, Jesus, let me walk out to you. Jesus said, come on. Peter walked out, but then he began looking at the storm and the sea and said, I shouldn't be able to do this. And he began worrying. When we focus on other things other than what God has done and what God can do, that hinders the message. But the one who hears, verse 23, but the one sown on good ground, this is the one who hears and understands the word, who does produce fruit and yields some 100, some 60, and some 30 times what was sown. The key is understanding the truth. And the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts us of the truth. Sunday's message, we're going to look at a little bit of why people do not receive the message of God. They have closed their ears. They don't necessarily have their fingers in their ears physically, but they do spiritually. They don't see the truth. We need to understand when we proclaim the gospel, we are the sower. We present the truth. It's not always going to come back having an immediate effect. Turn me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Beginning in verse 9. Don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit God's kingdom? Do not be deceived. No sexually immoral people, idolaters, adulterers, or males who have sex with males, no thieves, greedy people, drunkards, verbally abusive people, or swindlers will inherit God's kingdom. But look at verse 11. And some of you used to be like this, but you were washed. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. God can turn bad soil into good soil. And we see that in the church at Corinth. We see it in all our churches. I like the favorite line of a lot of people. Why don't you go to church? Because there are hypocrites there. There's hypocrites everywhere. Where do you want hypocrites to be? Where do you want sinners to be? Hearing the truth or ignoring the truth? Hypocrites can be turned into true believers. Jesus told us to spread the seed. In Mark 16, 15, He said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. All are not going to receive. Sometimes we're casting the seed on the path in the rocky soil. Sometimes we get to cast the seed and it lands on soil that's been tilled. That good soil doesn't start out necessarily being good soil. It has to be tilled up. It has to be fertilized. It has to have water to it. It has to have the weeds removed. Sometimes we say, oh, wow, this is amazing. Look at this response. It's because other people have been casting the seed. They didn't understand at first as a path. They were worried about other things. They didn't have any depth of root. All that can be cured by teaching, by explaining the truth, by taking time. Let us cast the seed and till the soil, prepare it so that we'll hear from God. Well done, good and faithful servant. Stand with me for our closing prayer. Dear God, thank you for this time we could be here. Thank you for the truth of your word. I pray that those that are out traveling to various family events, that those that are sick, that those that are caring for those that are ill, you will let them know how much they're loved, and how much you care for them. Lord, we pray for those that are stopping their ears and blinding their own eyes so they don't see and hear the truth, that they will listen. You will till the soil. In Jesus' name.